unwarranted music opinion. Unwarranted music opinion. I don't care if you don't want to hear my opinion about your robot.
Welcome to Unwarranted Music Opinions, a show in which three music enthusiasts each choose an album, and we come back at the end of a long week of intent listening to talk about how we felt about them. This week, the theme is nostalgic albums. We all chose an album that we grew up with, that we listened to a lot when we were younger, that bring back a lot of memories, good or bad. Just see if they've held up since the many years that we first discovered them. First album on our roster, my choice, it's Fish with A Picture of Nectar. Fish are a pretty well-known at this point jam band that have amassed a very, very large live following still to this day. This is their 1992 release. It's full of jazz fusion, funk influences. I would put it kind of close to Frank Zappa's 70s albums, but it does have a bit of that sort of 80s alternative rock, college rock kind of sound to it, because that's where they earned their stripes. I really, really enjoy this album still. I remember pretty much every single song in the track listing here, and there are 16 tracks, but I'll leave it to one of you, Chaz and Brian, to start talking about this one.
I had not heard of the band Fish up until this point. There's really nothing more to say than that. Like, this album's from 92. It sounds like it could be released today. It's pretty all over the place in terms of sound and variety of sound and genre and song structure as well. It's jammy. You can pretty much tell from the get-go. You don't need to know a whole lot about music to know that they're a jam band. They just like the songs are kind of freeform in a way. I mean, this thing's pretty easy to like at first listen, and it really grows on you because a lot of the tunes are catchy here. The playing is pretty on point all the time. I can't think of one moment where I was maybe irritated. There's like the weird kind of ambient cut towards the end, like kind of field recording-ish kind of thing. I wasn't into that. It just didn't fit. It was like a sore thumb. Like it's kind of, every time it comes on, I'm like, oh yeah, like this, you know.
Yeah, I don't think that the interludes here work all that well, but at the same time, they're not very long. Like the longest of them is maybe a tad over 30 seconds. And I do think that the interludes here do actually kind of show that Fish was having the sort of album listening experience in mind when they made this album. It isn't just a collection of tracks that they threw onto a record so that they'd have more material to play live. I do feel like they were thinking about, you know, the song ordering, the track listing here and everything, and trying to create a sort of complete album experience with this album.
I definitely agree. This is an amazing album, and it's a great experience to listen to right from the get-go. I don't want to date this episode, but quite literally, when this album starts, it slaps. It slaps so hard right from the first note of the first song.
That first drum beat in Llama.
It's just, bam, it comes to the screen with a big fist with a boxing glove on, just punches you right in the face. And from there, it's just a roller coaster of songs.
I will say, I like a lot of these track names I don't recognize within the sound of the song. Especially towards the back end. Everything before Tweezer blows my mind so hard that I kind of actually forget everything before it, except for Glide, which is also a really good song.
I think Tweezer's the best.
Tweezer's amazing. Tweezer, I legit thought that song was like 15 minutes long in a good way. Like, I was surprised. I was blown away to see it was only 8 minutes long.
And they do typically jam quite a bit on Tweezer. And Tweezer kind of is a great example of the instrumentation on this album, which I think is probably the biggest draw.
Of course.
It's so, it just tries so many different things. Like, you hear on Tweezer some really strange moments, like especially with the piano near the end of it, where it just kind of, it almost gets atonal. Like, they're just throwing everything in there, but it never feels like it loses coherence. It always feels like they're still playing off of each other really, really well. The guitar and the bass and the drums and the piano and everything.
Like, these are very deliberate arrangements, but they're played very organically, and it makes the album extremely likable.
A lot of it is improv, especially on Tweezer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're a band that has played together. Well, they composed, obviously, the verses and the choruses and everything,
and the melodies,
especially on, like, Tweezer, when they get into the sort of extended jam, it is a jam session. That's probably one of many jam sessions on that track. Probably decided that was the cut they were going to use for the record.
That's so impressive.
But it just shows that, I mean, they've been around since, as a band.
Like the late 80s?
Mid to late 80s. And they've been practicing as a unit and jamming as a unit ever since then. So they've just become extremely tight and in tune with each other. And, you know, I've seen them live twice, and both times were great experiences because they would jam for 10, 15 minutes and keep it very entertaining the whole time. And they don't, you know, do that quite as much in the studio, but on Tweezer you kind of get a glimpse of that.
So why was this the first band you, like, started listening to? What makes this nostalgic for you?
Well, my mom and my stepdad are huge into the Grateful Dead, and as such got into other jam bands. So Fish was kind of on in the background quite a bit of the time. There was a certain point, I was probably like 12, where I heard Hoist, and I thought, hey, that's cool, I want to listen to that on my own. And that was like the first time that I actually actively wanted to listen to something like by myself instead of just having it on. But what's interesting is, like, I didn't really listen to albums at that point, so all of the Fish songs that I heard were ripped from CDs of live concerts, like bootleg CDs. So I just had this huge collection of, like, bootleg live Fish tracks, and those are the tracks that I got to know. So, like, I got to know the guitar solo on a certain live version of Tweezer, rather than the version of Tweezer on this album, which is kind of interesting. Like, those became the standard versions of these songs for me. But A Picture of Nectar, you know, every single song on here except for, like, the interludes, I know very, very, very well because I've been listening to them on repeat, or I was for good 2-3 years when I was first getting into music.
Is it your favorite Fish album?
Yeah, this, I think, is the best Fish album. It's got some great highlights. I mean, other albums of theirs, I think, have songs that I enjoy more, like Lawn Boy and their debut. But this definitely is, I would say, the pinnacle of, like, their in-studio, what's the word, ambition. It's really the biggest statement in the studio that they ever made or tried to make, I think.
I'm kind of in the similar vein as Jacob. I'm very familiar with Fish, too. I think they're a phenomenal band, but the problem is I haven't listened to them all the way back since middle school. I think I remember the albums I listened to were Hoist, Farmhouse, and Billy Breathes, but I never listened to Picture of Nectar. And I remember their sound being more slower and, like, melodic. So coming to this album and just, bam, that first track, I was like, whoa, this is not at all what I remember from this band. But I was blown away. I was absolutely blown away. Llama, Cavern's a really good song, too.
Cavern's
pretty
great.
I love that chorus. That's a great chorus.
I used to know, I might not know right now, but I used to know every single word.
What's the chorus on Cavern's?
That's the one that mentions A Picture of Nectar. They yeah, keep finding words that
rhyme. Give the director a serpent reflector.
Yeah, that's a good
a
song.
A mud wrap detector. See, a cushion convector. I used to know every word, and I might.
It's
but
really
I probably will get something wrong.
It's like a quality where it's like they're just writing stuff that's fitting over. You know, there's no real.
Thank
thought
God we have a band who does not care about lyrics.
Yeah.
I was worried. I was like, oh no, I'm gonna come in here and say something controversial. Like, these lyrics mean nothing, and Jacob's gonna give me this look where it's like, how dare you? But I'm glad we're all in agreement that these lyrics are absolutely ridiculous.
No, they're just a conduit for the melodies, and you know the absolute focus of this album is the instrumentation.
It does make for some great quotes, though.
Well, it lends themselves to the song. There are so many memorable, on top of the jams here being, like, super tasty and, like, super good, there are so many memorable, like, lyrical moments as well. Like, Poor Heart has easily the most memorable one, where he comes on and he's just, like, vocalizing. And then, of course, on Tweezer, the chorus is super infectious.
Lilla Papyrus is another highlight for me.
The mango song, too. Oh,
yeah, your hands and feet are mangoes. You're going to be a genius anyway. It's like it's weird, uplifting.
Where are we? Like,
yeah. It's just like you get this image of a strange mango person.
And I love the Magilla into the Landlady. That's a good moment in the album, too.
There's a lot of, like,
just moments where, like, each song goes into the next. That's just awesome.
Yeah, just jazzy kind of guitar and piano.
I love the very.
I think Poor Heart is a phenomenal tune. I was not expecting some, like, bluegrass in this album. But
yeah, that blew me away. Like, when it was, like, I was like, this is, like, a legit bluegrass cut. I was
it
like,
really
this is pretty great.
I like the kind of, it's more of an interlude track in my opinion, just kind of a transitional moment, but the jazzy track with the like comes in very like what you would think jazz is. Like, I'm not too versed in jazz, so I don't want to speak out of...
It's just a really fun jazz piano interlude.
I think my only problem with this album is that, and you kind of mentioned it, a lot of these songs are jam sessions, so it's not composed. It's just kind of like what they're, you know, improvising. And sometimes the piano is a bit much, where they'll play a lick or two that goes on for a while, where I'm like, this does not feel pleasant to the ears. But I guess it's more of a nitpick anyway, just because of how impressive the playing is. I guess just sonically, sometimes the album is... And you know it when you hear it, especially in that piano that's like right in the front.
I honestly find that to be one of the best things about the band lineup. Like, Paige McConnell as a pianist, like, you should hear the song Bathtub Gin, where it just, his piano playing, it oh my God. On this album and on a lot of their earlier stuff, he just throws these weird chords and weird solos in there. And they're kind of off-putting at first, like you mentioned, but I think they inevitably end up giving the tracks a lot of personality.
They didn't bother me that much, and it did work. It's a type of, like, you know, I bet music theorists could pick this thing apart, but it was just, I didn't expect it very, so when it happened, I was like, whoa, what is happening? Especially in Tweezer. Tweezer gets nuts with it, especially near the end.
That's like the best
God, man.
Minute on the album.
Tweezer is like one of my favorite songs, period.
It's
like,
a
man,
beautiful song. It's awesome.
It's crazy good. It's like everything you could ever want out of music.
And that's why there's a reprise of it at the end of the album. They knew that was the best song of the album.
It's a great closer. There's a consciousness there that they must have loved playing that song, and it comes through. My gripes with this album is it's a bit of a slog at an hour. Like, I think there's some cuts here that you
think
could...
so? I don't know. I think it just moves right along. It doesn't even... I feel like as long as it is.
I feel the runtime a little bit. It's not too bad. I think there are maybe a few tracks that could have been cut that maybe don't stand up all that well or aren't that memorable.
You probably could have, like...
Especially
like
around the midpoint.
The 30-second, like, interludes, maybe cut those out.
Sure. The one at the end, most certainly, the kind of...
Catapult.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of liked how it went from, like, the jungle to the streets. I don't know. I thought that was a cool little... It's little thing that led right into the ending. I don't know.
A track like Fought could be cut as well, in my opinion. I just think some of the tracks don't really stand up to the quality of the other ones. If you cut this thing down to its best moments, it would be just an amazing album.
You know, people stoned out of their gourd would like listen to that moment and be like, whoa, we're in the jungle. Whoa, we're in the streets. How'd they do that?
Like, to me, this thing isn't... I'm not trying to insult it by saying this. I wouldn't call this thing, like, ambitious or anything like that. So when I get a cut like this that does seem to kind of go off the record's path or kind of go in a different direction, it does not more harm, per se. It just takes me out of it. I would rather just get on to the next jam, because that's what I've been enjoying. I don't feel like the transitional moments do all that much. The tracks flow into each other pretty well. And like Jacob said, it's clearly organized as an album. So I think these interlude cuts are maybe added if they didn't think a track flowed into one another well. But I just don't understand what Catapult does to get you to the Tweezer reprise. Like, I don't have that many gripes with how the album wraps up. Like, the transfer isn't the smoothest, but it's also, I wouldn't call it completely coarse. It still feels somewhat natural.
Also, side note, that album cover is amazing. Fish has some great album covers. But I, like, the whole time I was listening to this album, I kept staring. I was like, okay, so it's not a river. That's an orange. Okay, how'd they do that? So then I'm thinking about, like, them in the studio setting up, like, an orange on, like, a stool.
It's
and
a dude's face on the orange.
I know. I was like, but how do they... I was just thinking of, like, they're all staring at an orange while they're, like, trying to set up this mask over the light to get the face, the shadow on the orange.
I'm pretty sure it's shopped or to some degree digitally edited.
We're competing. In 92?
Maybe. It's kind of a rough year, you know? It's like, we don't really know a lot about computers then. Showing our age. Yeah, I'm feeling a decent 8.
Same here. 8.
Yeah. It's really good. Like, it's just not like an album that I'm like, I would say passionate about. It's just...
Well, it confirmed what I already knew, that Fish is awesome. And I've heard a gripe that, like, oh, they're only good if you're stoned, like, to listen to. That's false.
Not at all.
That is a false claim.
Yeah, and their fan base has a bit of a poor reputation. But, I mean, you're not exactly meeting and greeting with their fans while you're sitting down with headphones on listening to a audio recording.
Like, definitely give this band a listen to. And I think this is a great album to start with.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend this.
It's just awesome. There's really nothing to hate about it. It's just
Like, and if you hear Llama at the very beginning and that doesn't grab you, then maybe you're not into Phish, but I feel like that's a perfect track to start you off. I'm going to go with, like, a 9 on this because it is a great album, and I also have a little bit of personal meaning to me to help me get into music.
Well, it's nostalgic, which is what this whole episode's about.
Wow.
The album I picked is TNT by AC/DC, a band that really needs no introduction. When you think of classic rock from the 70s, like, this is one of the bands you go to. They're a nostalgic band because, for me and a lot of other people, I'm sure, they're one of the first bands I ever became a fan of or, like, listened to, and their albums. They're a band that a lot of people love, and they're just, they're still around, still kicking it. Maybe they shouldn't, I don't know, but they have a lot of classic albums and songs that are quotable and loved. So the album I picked from them, because it has a lot of the most recognizable songs, I'd say, by this band, is TNT, which is the Australia version. Most people probably know it as High Voltage. It's confusing, but for now we're just going to say TNT is the album that I've picked. Oh, where do I start with this? This, nostalgically, you know, when you listen to stuff from your past, you're worried, is it bad? Does it hold up? Right when that first track hits, I was like, yep, this is just as good as I remember it. It's so much fun. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. Rock and roll singer, The Jack, Livewire, TNT, Rocker, Can I Sit Next to You Girl? Just all, one after another, just awesome songs with just awesome playing and singing. This is just a band that wants to have fun. It's what rock and roll is all about. Having fun, thinking highly of yourself, just awesome solos and choruses, just, this album is a treat. I love this album so much. You guys probably hate it.
I don't hate it.
Yeah. Yes!
I don't hate it either. It's likable.
No, that's probably worse.
It gets off to a strong start. Actually, the first half of the thing's pretty good, to be honest. It's a long way to the top. Okay, I'm probably in the minority here. The bagpipes on here get a little grating towards the end.
Bagpipes are the best
they
part
are
on the album.
Only AC/DC can make bagpipes sound badass.
Like, they sounded great.
I like them when they initially come in. I think they go on a bit long.
I wanted more.
Me too.
Give me more bagpipes.
That is a wrong opinion, Brian. I'm sorry.
Rock and Roll Singer is a good track. I'm just going to kind of go through the album track by track because I think this thing loses a lot of steam at the end. Rock and Roll Singer is another pretty good cut. It's classic, you know. It's kind of cheesy. It's a little cornball.
That's the thing. It's cheesy now, but back then that wasn't cheesy.
Yeah,
I feel like it may have always been cheesy, but the thing is, and this is what led me to actually be able to enjoy this, even though, like, Rock and Roll Singer is cheesy, it's cheesy in a feel-good, upbeat way, mm-hmm. and it never feels like it's trying to... I feel like there's no edge here, really.
Yeah.
Like, there's never any moment where it's trying to be super serious and everything like that.
Which has actually been a band that, like, kind of never took themselves too seriously.
Yeah, it allows this to be way more palatable, because if they were really trying to be all macho and cool and whatever, because they're really not, like...
I mean, for Christ's sake, one of their band members wears a schoolboy outfit and still does to this day. Why?
I hated The Jack when I first heard it, and now it's, like, my second favorite on the album. I don't know what changed
He's
from...
He's got The Jack.
Like, something about the slow... This was, like, the worst sort of dirt. I felt like it was being marched into a pit the first time I heard it. It was terrible. And then, like, by the third time, I was really into the super slow build. Like, I thought it built really well to the chorus, which was... And it's super... He doesn't really overdo it. I think it's a pretty great track, honestly. Livewire is, like...
That bass. Whew.
It's the first, like, decent cut. Like, the problem with AC/DC is, and I never say this anymore because I know it's very stupid to say this without actually informing it, is it sounds a lot like a lot of the other songs on here. Their structure is super rigid. All the songs on here are from, there's really no deviation. It's like verse into chorus, and a lot of the choruses sound kind of the same. The guitars aren't really that varied on this thing.
I disagree.
I would agree with that.
You'd agree with that? See, I mean, I disagree because... Each song, I mean, they have similar chord progressions and such, and a sound, but each song is different in a way where when it comes on, you know the song. That's what's great about AC/DC.
You can tell the differences.
When TNT comes on, you know. When Livewire comes on, you know. When it's A Long Way to the Top, you know.
Livewire's a little indistinct. I honestly
that
like,
bass. No other song on this album comes in with that bass starting out with doom 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 doom. Like that's not.
TNT does.
No.
The sonic variance on this album is very minimal, and that's a thing throughout AC/DC's discography, and it's the one kind of like blanket statement opinion in music that I think holds true. It's like AC/DC wrote the same song a lot of times, and that's true, but it doesn't keep their songs from being great, because TNT's still a great cut, even if it does sound like Livewire. Anyway, Can I Sit Next to You, Girl? I mean, and obviously TNT's great. I mean, Jesus, like the oys, obviously when they come in are very like it's a really feel good track. It's not as awesome as I remember, but still great. Like,
no, it was
it's
awesome
really.
I remember listening to that.
Yeah, I like that track
it's
a lot.
Great song. That was the first song I ever listened to. This band. So when I was growing up, a lot of my musical influences would be from my mom and dad, but they're two wildly different. So whatever's the new pop song that was coming out, that's what I was listening to when I was driving with my mom. Ooh, a lot of great cuts on that one. And but when I was riding with my dad, oh my God, like The Who, Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, just so many bands of classic music that are just some of the best rock you'll ever hear. So that's really what got me kicked off as a music lover. But the first song that I would always wanted to play would be AC/DC because it's so awesome. I thought it was just so cool. I had no idea what the song was about or what it stood for or what it meant. I just, oi, oi.
I actually heard it in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
That's where
4.
I heard it too.
Yeah, it's a great song. Great game too.
Great.
That's where I got it. I thought that song was awesome.
Unwarranted video game opinions. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1, 2, and 3. Some classic games.
Those games are like strong nines. Like they're really good games. Like you millennials who play skate, y'all suck. Like Tony Hawk's way better. Y'all are just, it's more technical. Shut up, moron. Anyway, I'm gonna
moan. Man, the second part of this album is up until the closer, so I have High Voltage is the version I've listened to. Oh my God, after TNT, like kind of off a cliff here. Can I Sit Next to You, Girl? Not like the worst track I've ever heard, but I'm really not that into it.
Can I Sit Next to You?
Like, I don't know. I couldn't get into it. Like, everything about this song, like, this song is not that different from all the other stuff on here, as I've said before. Like, it's a pretty homogenous sound to a fault, I think, just a little bit. It's indistinct, and I don't know. I just couldn't get into it. Like, I should like this song, and I think it's just kind of incessant, to be honest. I think it goes on a little too long. Little Lover, again, not terrible, just indistinct. I can't remember anything about it. And, like, the 3 or 4 listens I had to this thing,
AC/DC is not known for their slow song, their slow jams.
Well, they don't make, it's not about, they don't do anything to set these tracks apart. Like, most of the first half of this album is extremely solid. Like, I would even go as far as say it's great. But the problem is, like, as soon as they run out of choruses that I think are memorable or catchy, like, it really starts to show at the latter half. And She's Got Balls is terrible. This is an awful...
No, it's not.
This is a banger. This is an awful song. Like,
I did not have the pleasure of listening to that track.
This is like a 5.5-minute cut, right? Hold on. This is like a 5-minute cut. This thing is awful. I literally couldn't finish this thing on my third listen. I could not listen to that song.
See, driving on the road listening to this music is so awesome.
We return to we get a return to form on High Voltage on the closer, which is okay. But like it's like a mirror. Like the first half of this thing is pretty great, really enjoyable, a lot of memorable, great songs that deserve to top the charts, and then like I don't know what happened on part two, but they the ball is dropped after TNT. I don't know what happened, but like the second half of this thing is a slog. It feels like the second half of a double album, and the disc two is just rancid. With She's Got Balls anyway. The other tracks aren't terrible, but it's really too samey. It is like a conglomeration of the album's flaws, and they're just in the worst light on the second half of this record.
But I really enjoyed this album, and I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to. It's really not my sound. It's really not what I typically listen to. However, I do find that AC/DC really aren't particularly full of themselves. They don't take themselves all that seriously. Mm-hmm. Their lyrics and their songs are mostly just about embracing rock and roll, which... At a certain point, I do believe there is a distinction between, like, you know, the overly macho rock and roll kind of thing, which for me is like Guns N' Roses, which I hate Guns N' Roses with a passion.
See, like, that's not, they're not having fun. They're right. taking themselves seriously.
AC/DC is kind of the opposite side of the coin, where they're just playing a bunch of, you know, feel-good, well-written tracks and having a lot of fun with it. And for that reason, I was able to get into this album quite a bit, actually. The first track, It's a Long Way to the Top. The bagpipes, when they come in, are just fantastic. They add a lot of flavor to the track. Rock and Roll Singer is a really, really solid tune as well. But Jack Grew on Me, same as it did with Brian. Title track's great. I listened to the original Australian TNT, which is different than High Voltage, but there's only a two-track difference. So it's nearly the same album. High Voltage was another track that I really enjoyed. And, you know, I had this on in the background for my third listen, and it was just really enjoyable the whole way through. So overall, I'm going with like a 7 out of 10 on this. I really enjoyed it. I think it's really good. I don't quite love it, but at the same time, I do think it's worthy of more than like a 6, which was what I was originally probably going to give this, just because there are some track highlights here that I think are really, really solid tunes.
I'm going to give it a 9 because, oh my God, I love this album so much. I love AC/DC. Like, that was, again, like, that's my first band I went to growing up. Like, what kind of music are you into? Oh, I love AC/DC. That'd be it, because...
How much did your nostalgia inform your opinion?
Not too bad, because before this episode, I kind of listened to it a while back. So that was my first initial, like, is this still good? Yeah, it's still good. But coming back to it and really looking at it, it's just awesome. And what really puts this album over the top for me is Angus Young's playing. Oh my God, those solos are just... There's a reason he's considered one of the greatest guitar players ever, because he's so awesome. He just knows how to play with these chord progressions, and just... He just bends the guitar over and just makes it his own. He's just a god.
That being said, like, the first half is really strong, and I can't get over the fact that I really enjoyed a lot of those songs, so I feel a little torn on this album. So, I'm more at a strong 6, but on certain days, this could maybe be a 7. But I'm just going to go with a 6. See, there's a post-grunge band coming out of the 2000s and the mire of muck that is the horrible genre that is post-grunge. It is probably some of the most unlistenable, vapid, transparent, fake deep music I've ever heard in my entire life. This was an album I listened to when I was younger. I wasn't much of a music guy when I was younger. I just heard whatever I thought was catchy enough to keep in my head. I'm very proud of how I've grown as a music listener. However, this is what I listened to back in the day. This was the best pick for the nostalgic episode here, because it's genuine. I own the CD. I've listened to this millions. I used to listen to this while I played Halo. Like, I've heard this album well over 15 times in my entire life, and going back to it now is terrible. This is awful. Don't touch me.
No, give me a hug.
I'm feeling like this is genuinely awful.
You need a hug, Brian.
Like, this is horrible.
Please give me a
like,
hug.
Like, this is like thinking about.
Please give me a hug, Brian.
Thinking,
you need it.
Thinking about...
Okay, you just simmer there. Alright, so...
Just, I'm like, decent one.
Alright, let's... So, okay.
I'm gonna
be the minority here, because, and I mean this album is not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
I knew you were scum who would kind of like it. No. Oh, I knew it! Oh, I knew it! What's your favorite song? Rise Above This. No, okay.
It's a Fake It.
Ew. Oh, you sound just like him.
Alright. So but no, I just don't want you to feel so bad, so I'll take the bullets for you.
I had to hear it.
We all had to hear it.
I'm going to not take the bullets, I'm going to fire more.
Okay.
Into my own head.
This is a bad album. This is a bad album with bad sound, This album just came out at the right time, because this is what was popular. This is what
It's true. This was getting radio play. I remember this being on the radio.
See, there was a huge band back in the day. I remember this band. This is it. And the sound and style is incredibly nostalgic for a reason, because this is what everybody was listening to. All these angry white boys, bad cuts off Tony Hawk Pro Skater soundtrack. Freaking
this was not on Tony. Do not talk about that soundtrack.
Every wrestler's like a theme song
that's,
sounding.
That's true.
I hate this genre. This is a like, terrible genre.
Or like the Eminem-esque rap, like Rey Mysterio's
yes!
theme. Oh my god.
But this album is different because of what it's talking about. There is a lot of songs about like dealing with suicide and
the only thing
there's a song about his brother's suicide. So it's like you can't right. really hate on what he's singing about because he's or a lot of bad breakups. There's a lot of like bad relationship songs in
there. Well, the relationship stuff I could really just do without. I do agree that the first track,
which,
well, like
before you
Suicide.
Get started, before you get started, that's why I want to give you a hug, Brian, because what were you were going through back then, I'm sorry to
I
say.
I mean, my childhood wasn't amazing.
Because, no, you listen, I was listening to this off YouTube, and all the comments were, this band saved my life. Like, best band ever. This is a great song off the album. I'm like, no, you poor unfortunate souls.
On my first listen, like Suicide, I really, really dislike it. But I agree, Chaz, that the subject matter, you know, it's not handled great, but at the same time it doesn't feel exploitative. It does kind of feel like he's genuinely
it feels genuine
trying to talk about this subject, which I think is fine. Mm-hmm. But right after that, we take just a dive into bitterness and like, the society doesn't want to, I have been pushed down by the world, and like,
typical post-grunge white boy, angry white boy crap.
This feels like the kind of, and well, Brian's sitting here, but this feels like the kind of music that like the really edgy band kids in middle school would listen
yes,
to, you know
yes.
what I mean?
How like, okay, my taste hasn't always been great, obviously.
Hey, but no, I'm right there with you. I'll say it again, proud, loud and proud. I used to be an ICP fan. Like, I'm right in the boat with you there, Brian.
ICP's better than this.
Ooh, that's a good opinion. That's a great opinion. They actually have some decent songs. There's
just because your subject matter is inherently difficult or sad or depressing does not make your song passable. Look at a song like Breakdown. Everyone's been upset about a breakup. I understand the emotional places.
The music video was cool, though.
Actually, and I will say, Breakdown's like my favorite track on this thing. I think it actually holds
tell
up.
Us, you were tell us what you said to us when you first listened to this again.
The first three tracks, like
it was first four,
again.
As I remember.
No, first three. First three are...
Yeah, track four is...
Fallen? Yikes.
No. Track four is FMLY.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. F me like you hate me. I was laughing through that entire song.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Like, I think... Is that really? And falls after that?
So
I must
bad.
Have repressed that.
Yeah, that's when it falls for me. Ooh.
Like the first three tracks, I was like, I was like, man, it's good to be back here. Good to feel this nostalgia. Even Fake It. I was like, yeah, I was like, I can't deny
it. I think
that
is the best song on the album. Because it's like, it has like most structure, and it has the least amount of like, it has like kind of a catchy chorus that you can sing along to.
This is like made for radio. Like it's just.
Absolutely.
No, but not in a good way. Like it's just, there's so many. So here's
it's
what
so formulated.
Here's what I hate about this band, and my very limited experience with grunge now, is like post-grunge is like the most surface-level listening music I think I have ever heard in my entire life. They are not capable of critical thinking. They must not be. This is like single-digit IQ levels of terrible lyricism, of basic understanding of the world around you, and they're like 35.
I like the phrase... Verbal defecation. You knew it immediately.
It's awful. There is no depth here to the sadness or anything on it. Even a song is like upbeat and is like feel good, is Rise Above This, is so cripplingly weak.
Which is so, and it's so
that
boring
song,
though, because that's about like a personal thing that happened to him.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I don't care that it happened to him. I don't care. This song sucks. I'm sorry. Is it one of the better on the album? Sure. Better as opposed to laying on a bed of fire?
You know what the best song is?
As opposed to No Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's the best song on
the
album. No, I'm kidding. I'm 100% sarcasm. That is the best song on the album.
That song
is horrible.
Oh my God.
7.5 minutes? I can't believe it.
Someone heard that and was like, you should make this 7 minutes long.
You should make this 7 minute song where you're taking a shot at religion because you're the only person in the world who's ever thought that there might be a problem with organized religion.
That's the problem with this album. It hears, and this is coming up when the internet is blowing up. And like, this is how I discovered this band was the internet. And then I remember all the compilations I used to watch.
This band saved people.
this is like, how much?
That's fine.
No. But how depressing is it for you to be like, yeah, I was doing this rough time. It's like, oh, what kind of stuff were you listening to make you feel better? Seether. And then they'd like hand him like the bottle, like, maybe you should just go back.
Like, it's true.
Maybe it's time for
this,
withdrawal.
It's so the only reason this engages you if you're feeling the way this music sounds is because that's just it. The music sounds this way. That's the only quality of this music that holds any weight. Like, the sound is grungy. It's
were you going
like,
through a tough period when you listened to this band?
My childhood was rough, man, but like, holy
were you listening to Fake It being like, yeah, they're all a bunch of hypocrites.
No,
yeah.
I just thought it was edgy and
cool. Did it make you feel powerful?
It's surface level. This band is insulting to anyone who listened to it when they were younger. And if you're still onto this sound, I highly encourage you to move on to something with more depth than like a handful
like,
of sand.
I'd rather someone come to me and say, I listen to Limp Bizkit. I'd rather hear that than Seether.
This music is not only surface level, but like for some, now looking at it at my age and hearing some of the stuff I've heard now and how that's affected me on a much deeper level, this is surface level. It's somewhat manipulative. It is completely without growth. You are not actually doing anything. There's music that you can listen to that will actually do things for you and make you feel better. Like besides just ejecting this edge like from your body. You can learn and grow with music. It is very much a tool that you can use in your life to do better. And doing listening to this album did that for me back in the day.
Oh, God.
But oh, my.
You listened to Deceit and gave it a 10, and then you came back to this. How did that feel?
It's terrible. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. Like, the nostalgia just flew off this thing. It reeks like this thing is awful. You could pick out any lyrical moment as top five worst things you've ever heard in your entire life. If you listen to a band like Nirvana, they sound like this, but it's way better. The song topics are way more ambitious.
No, it doesn't sound like Nirvana. That's the thing that I hate about most about post-grunge is that post-grunge sounds nothing at all, in my opinion, like the classic grunge.
The only thing similar, I would say, would be the song structures, how it's sometimes it's quiet on the verse and then loud on the chorus. The vocals, sometimes, like listening to this album, you know, I think Pearl Jam is a great band. I think that people hate on Eddie Vedder a little bit too much, but hearing the Eddie Vedder in the vocals here made me understand why so many people can't listen to Pearl Jam. Well, I never
like
had
post-grunge ruined grunge for a lot of people.
It didn't die.
It was supposed to die.
See, I never had a post-grunge phase. I never listened to any of this kind of stuff, so I could go back and listen to Pearl Jam.
I don't
want to
say I had a
grunge
post-grunge
fans.
Phase, but man, this sound was a lot around me growing up too.
Like, yeah, and this was the thing. I was listening to so many other bands that also sound like there was the 3 Days Grace. You had your,
there was in the recommended.
You had your
like Jars of Clay, Creed.
Yeah, Creed, Stained.
Nickelback.
There are actually a couple of bands that you dip into nu metal too, just because I guess it was like the sound that there was also that sound there. And nu metal.
Let
like,
the bodies hit the floor.
Like
or whatever
Slipknot
band.
Was pretty Drowning Pool.
Oh, I had a Slipknot phase. See, I had more of a nu metal phase than a post grunge phase.
I don't even know. Where
Thank God, nu metal is so much better than this.
I was into 60s and 70s folk pop.
Shut up, Jacob. We know you had a great childhood. Stop talking.
I don't even know where to begin with this thing.
I was going to talk about it more, but Brian, you pretty much touched on everything. I'll talk about it a little bit more musically. You've explained everything that is wrong about what it makes you feel. Musically, though, the background vocals.
The screaming.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the moment on Like Suicide at the tail end of the track is some of the cringiest thing. It's like the worst. I cringed. Like it's some of the worst things I've heard in a very long time.
And like, no Jesus Christ, when we get to that instrumental outro, at that point you're like the drums, like it's like, no, you have not earned this. Like this,
you've not earned a slow moment on the album.
Yes, exactly. Like I care zero about everything that you're doing right now. Like
I will say,
I want the song to be over.
The back half. You know, fair AC/DC back half, kind of worse than the first. The back half on this album, oh my God.
Yikes. Can I get that?
The first, you know what, like Faking It, I forgot the track, like Faking It, Like Suicide, Breakdown, you know, but Six Gun Quota, Walk Away From the Sun, Eyes of the Devil.
I was so
excited. Oh my God.
For Walk Away From the Sun. I remember that track being great, and I got there. Wow.
I mean, to be fair, it has slightly different instrumental variety with the drum machine.
It's like the second most appealing track on here, if you could call it that. Like, honestly, like, it's kind of, like, I do kind of like the visuals that are incited here with the lyrics. I think it's somewhat compelling.
Jesus Christ, six gun quota.
It's so burn bad. Down every breed that I found. Ah!
It's so bad.
It is the worst.
Oh my God.
That or F Me Like You Hate Me are probably the worst songs on this album. Geez,
wow, yeah. That song is awful. Fallen. I believe in the fall.
I love the music videos for these songs. They're so like, look how deep we are. My face is a Rubik's Cube and she's twisting me around. Like, shut up. You do not deserve this.
This album, like, its view on relationships and like, it's so unhealthy.
Yep.
And it's like so mired in bitterness and I can
This is how you turn into a nice guy.
Yeah, I can totally see how...
Oh my god, this is nice. I'm the nice guy of the album. That's exactly what this is. Oh my god. The whole time I was listening, it's like, I've seen this before. What is this feeling that this man is portraying?
If you like to listen to music without thinking about it, and you go on to make music, this is what you'll make.
Like...
Not even true. Like, this sound, I don't know why this sound was so popular, but there were so many angry white boys growing up.
Because this is the surface... This is... People saw the elements of the music they grew up with and took away the most easily observable elements of those things, did not pick them apart at all, did not understand the meanings of any of these songs or the intricacies of the playing or the subtlety of the lyrics, and you just paste it on and you're like, man, isn't making music great? Anyone can make music.
No, there's literally a song called Faking It. That's what these guys
Brian
are doing.
Brian has been yelling for 15 minutes at this point.
Dude, this album sucks.
But, like, you can write music about sexual frustration. Just look at Pinkerton, which we've already discussed. Look
at much better
the
album.
Violent Femmes, their debut album. You know, both of those are much more nuanced.
They're subtle about it too.
The best thing about those albums is they don't put the blame on the women.
It's themselves.
This album just throws all of the blame on this other person. like it totally just blames the other party.
Yeah, for
instead
real.
Of looking introspectively, whereas, you know, Pinkerton, you know, it's about sexual frustration, but he's talking about problems with himself. Violent Femmes, it's frustrated, but you never get the sense that he thinks he's owed something.
Yeah.
Here it sounds like he thinks he's owed something.
Even though, and he doesn't, because he made this album. And this came out in 2007. But I mean, like, what a smart move. This is the best year to release this kind of crappy music.
I hate the part on Femlim, where he's like, I should have been the one who died.
Oh my god.
It's terrible.
What a...
It's literally the...
I don't remember.
Like it's like one of the...
You know, how forgettable,
he says
too.
It right. I love that, like, I should have been the one who died. And the guitar strums right at the end, just once.
Like, beautiful. You know what? And you know what's worse about this album is that, like, a lot of these songs are fun to hate. Like, that makes it kind of enjoyable. Like, oh, I'm going to riff on this. Like, I can talk about this for hours of how bad this is. But then you get to the latter half, and, like, the last three tracks, I don't remember a single thing about them.
Well, I was kind of with you.
I don't remember anything about them.
Yeah, I was kind of with you on my first listen. I actually enjoyed this less on my second listen.
Like, oh, man. Jacob texted us and said, see, there's not getting a third listen.
Oh, man. First listen, I was at like a 2 out of 10, right? I'm at a 1 out of 10. And honestly, I've only ever given 2 other 1 out of 10s. This isn't only the
what
worst.
What other albums have gotten 1 out of 10?
I can't recall them off the top of my
you
head.
You don't remember? How do you not remember what you give a 1 out of 10?
Like, well, Corey Feldman
when you experience
Corey
trauma,
Feldman? What's that?
You don't want to know. But more on Seether.
No, less on Seether.
I don't even remember what I was going to say. At first, I thought Like Suicide would have been decent. Like, the production all across the board is kind of decent. Like, you get some decent
it's
guitar
produced
tones.
Competently.
It isn't brick-walled. There is a small amount of variety with, like, Rise Above This and Walk Away from the Sun, but at the same time, nothing that you could say that's good about this makes me hate it less. And I just...
Absolutely.
I can't think of any other albums, that I hate more than this. Like, this is a 1 out of 10. Like, this is one of the worst albums I've ever heard. And the thing is, right now on Rate Your Music, it's got a 2.9.
Because people look back fondly on this.
If this is better than average post-grunge, I don't know what is bad post-grunge. Like, I don't want to know Creed. What could ever be worse.
Creed is bad post-grunge.
I don't want to listen to a Creed album, because how could it be worse?
How could... Because Seether, like, is still looked fondly on. You should have seen the comments I was reading, where people were like...
But, like, I'm glad that people...
If this helped you in a time...
If this helped you, great. If you still enjoy this... That's fine.
I gotta give this album a little credit, because it did help me out when I was younger, when I felt really bad, and I was like, hey, this music feels really bad too. But you can only think about how you're appreciating that music. Very surface level, you're like, oh, it sounds kind of grungy and depressing, so I kind of vibe with it. The people who made this music are grown men who have been out in the world, have clearly had some experiences that are fueling the ideas in this music. And their observations and their conclusions that they draw are so single-digit IQ that these beta males can't even make a decent-sounding grunge song.
I don't do anything wrong. It's the world, and it's the people in it, and I'm great.
Even
and
talking
the world
about
is
his,
bad.
Like, even you couldn't come up with something more nuanced than Rise Above This. Honestly, it's just so it gives me a headache. I hate this album. I hate what it represents. And honestly, I hate them in retrospect for making an album like that, because they know who's going to listen to this. They know who's going to hear this. They don't promote human growth. It's offensive. It's regressive. It's terrible. Decent one.
I'm going to give it I've been kind of like back and forth here. I want to give it a one, but again, it's not like the worst music I've ever heard. I listen to some pretty bad stuff too in my day. It's just so surface level. Four. Again, it didn't piss me off. Okay. Because, like, when I was listening to it, I was like, yep. Like, I just transported back to, like, 2007 and all the music everybody was listening to. But, man, make no mistake, this is a horrible album.
I've been picking on the lyrics, but, like, the bass line on No Jesus Christ is irritating. Most of the guitar playing is pretty...
I was going to give it a 5, but then we started talking, I was like, ooh... Yeah,
I don't know how you could give this thing a 5. I don't know how you give this thing a...
You know what? No, like screw 2. It. It's a 3. Because I was like, I gave Nicki Minaj a 4.
Yeah.
But
that was better than this.
That's better than this. This is a 3.
Yeah, it's measurably better. The worst thing...
I gave Death Grips a 2.
Diet, the only... Like, Diet 6, not as bad as this. Like,
I would rather listen to Diet 6 3 times in a row than listen to this one more
time. I abhor this.
Like, this album almost made me want to lose my hearing. Like, I don't care about music as an art form anymore after listening.
I'd rather listen to, like... Disturbs cover of Sound of Silence.
Oh, that's
than this.
Bad. That's
I'd,
so
I'd
bad.
Rather listen to that than this. Oh no! Oh no! Before we end this, we have to talk about this. This needs to be addressed. I listened to the cut that had the Careless Whisper. These dudes had the gall to cover freaking George Michael's. What is it with new metal and post-grunge bands covering George Michael? Limp Bizkit did it. These guys did it.
I kind of like the Careless Whisper cut.
What? No!
Brian, you've been going in on this album for the past, like, while and now.
I think it's not on the original release that we've been talking about. I think it's a decent cover, to be honest.
No, it's not! What is wrong with you?
Like, it's not the worst cover I've heard.
Yes, it is!
It's better than all of their songs.
Oh my god!
I don't even mind his vocals on
that. I forgot about the Careless Whisper cover!
I don't actually mind his vocals on that track.
Oh, also, we should mention, this album's an hour long.
Oh, yeah, by the way. Oh, my God.
It's such a slog.
So it's longer for me because I listened to it.
Not that long! You gave it a 3!
All right, so...
No, it's a 3 because it didn't piss me off, but Careless Whisper did. But that's not on the original cut.
Does that drag it down to a 2?
Yes.
Thank you.
You've gone from a 4 to a 2 in the past 2 minutes.
This is a 2 out of 10.
Okay, so...
Stop. Listen to all you bands out there that, like, think you're deep, but you're not. Stop ruining George Michael's music. He didn't die for this.
They're not listening.
The next episode is just a regular episode. We can choose any album. There's no theme. And I've decided to choose something pretty different than anything else that we've chosen so far. It's a record from 1969. It's a self-titled album by Brazilian songwriter Gal Costa. And it is in Portuguese, but... It is super catchy and memorable, and I think that you will probably find it very enjoyable.
We're going to do Tierra Whack's Whack World. It came out last year. I saw it in a lot of publications and got to it after the end of the year, and I think it would have ended up on my year-end list, and I've really, really enjoyed it. And I think it's a nice, laid-back, easy listen. It's 15 minutes. Each track is 1 minute exactly. It's a trap album. It's quirky, and it's good.
It's time to get some Flaming Lips up in this podcast, so we are going to do my personal favorite Flaming Lips album, At War with the Mystics. That's another band I don't think it needs any introduction. There's a lot of classic albums by them, but my personal favorite is one that not many people go to as their favorite, so I'm very interested to hear what you guys have to say about it.
This has been Unwarranted Music Opinions. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
I'm Chaz Jenkins.
I'm tired.
And we will return with more composure to talk about these three albums next time on Unwarranted Music Opinions.